Good morning, Living Hope. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Wherever we are, that's the house of the Lord. That's what I love about it. Wherever we are, you are the temple of God. And I know that we are believing that God has a place for us. There's been a couple of places that I've looked at. And I'm just waiting for God to nudge me, as Rossanne had said. And as we're moving forward, we just appreciate all that's happening. Well, good morning, everyone. I was going to start out this morning by saying, do you love me? And you know, when I start out like that, it's because I have a hard word. And I believe it's what the Lord is, no, I know it's what the Lord's asked me to share with you this morning. And let me ask you a quick question as we begin. If you had asked me how it was for you to travel from here to a specific destination that you were going, and you didn't have a vehicle, and so you asked me, how do I get from point A to point B? What do I need to, and I would simply say, oh, well, you know, we have transportation. There is a bus that goes right from point A to point B. It meets right at this place. It's perfect. You just got to be, that'll be great. Did I give you everything you need to know? No. What if you went and showed up at the station at 2 o'clock only to find out that that transportation left at noon? Would that have been a good piece of information for you to have prior to your journey? Okay? Would you be upset with me because you asked me to give you information? Maybe I even thought it was 2 o'clock. So I said, hey, go at 2 o'clock and, you know, you'll be all set. But you missed your appointed time. Can you see where I'm going with this? There's a lot of us who believe with all our heart that we are disciples of Christ, that we are the ecclesia, and that we have an appointed time. But what if I didn't give you all the information and you missed it? This morning, I'd like to share with you some things that the Lord's put on my heart. It's not any one person. It's just an assessment of all the things that I have been seeing. Those who are not in the faith, those who are in the faith but are living their lives without the power. So this morning, I would like to share with you the things that the Lord's put on my heart in preparation of what's coming. I'd like to begin with this question. Do we make choices in alignment with God's word? Or do we make choices to please ourselves or the world? Now, I know what we'd want to say right off the bat. Do you know what I'm saying? But I want you just to think for a second, meditate on that. You see, I know the answer to that question. Before I knew the Lord as my personal Savior, my choice was always to please me. I would go learn something so I could do something. I would work hard at this so I could have that. It was always about me. How many of you think that's the case with your teenagers? Oh, there's no food in here. The whole thing's loaded with food, but it's not what they want to eat, right? Yeah. Well, feel free to buy something and put it in there. And they do. And then they write their name on it. Right? This is mine. Don't touch it. Why is everything in the refrigerator that dad buys is everybody's? But they buy it, it's theirs. I found my life being a lot like that before I knew Jesus. It was about me. However, as I have journeyed through my spiritual walk for over 4.5 decades, I've witnessed many who claim that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, and their walk, their choices, they appear to be worldly. I remember a joke that I once heard where this car was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, the person in the car was screaming and yelling at somebody, you know, just profanity and yelling and rolling down the window. Didn't realize there was a cop behind them. So the cop pulled her over. Said, ma'am, is this your vehicle? And she said, yes. He says, I was just checking. You see, because on the back bumper it said that Jesus is my Lord, and yet you didn't look like anything like you love Jesus, and so I thought you might have stole the vehicle. You know what? I've thought of that many times when I look at my license plate, because you know my license plate says disciple. I will tell you, sometimes that has made sure that I have done the right thing. We live in the world, right? You see, this walk with the world is void of God's blessing. Being a Christian means following Christ's teachings and values, which often contradicts with the behaviors and the beliefs of the secular world. Christians are called to live differently, reflecting their faith through their actions and their choices while still engaging in the world around them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We have come and we have worshiped you through song. We have worshiped you through our giving. And now we come and worship you through your word. Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning, that our paths may be made straight, and that all that we say and do will honor you. And we pray that in Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen, amen, and amen. Over the last several weeks, we have been learning about the Holy Spirit. For those of you who would like to get those, you can just go on our website, or you could ask Alec for some hard copies, or you can go to YouTube, and you can go check those out. I'm going to continue teaching on the Holy Spirit, but I thought that this morning would be a great time to take a pause to reflect on what we've learned to see how we can have application. Because having knowledge is nothing unless it's applied, right? So when we learn something, it's the application that brings the blessing. The Holy Spirit is in us and works through us. My question, are we grieving the Holy Spirit by our defiance of God's word, or are we enjoying the blessing of spiritual obedience? I told you this was going to be a hard word this morning. I can see most of you are not smiling at me, and it's okay. Because you know what? I would rather have God smile at me because I told you what you needed to know so you didn't miss your divine appointment. Okay? I'm going to tell you this stuff this morning because I love you. I actually heard someone this week make the statement that Christianity was easy. Look at your eyebrows go up. They actually said Christianity is easy. In fact, they said it's pretty much the easiest religion. You do what you want, and you know that God loves you. Now, you say boo to that, and I heard this, and the first thing inside me goes, I want to jump into that conversation, but I have to wait, because I have to ask myself, what is their perception that would make them come to that conclusion that Christianity is so wishy-washy, you just do whatever you want, maybe you say I'm sorry, or maybe you do it like the kids do today, oh, my bad, and then you just know God loves you, and you just keep living your life the way you want. What is it that caused them to say that? And that's what I started thinking about. I was shocked when I heard it. But unfortunately, there are many believers that live their lives doing their own thing. asking God to bless it, expecting God's blessing in their final destination being heaven. I hear many today pray, God, do this in my life. God, open this door. God, bless me here. God, I want to marry that person. God, I hear it. If you knew the stuff that people ask me to pray for, it's crazy. No one ever has come to me and said, you know, I've been praying, Father, what's your will? How do I fit into your plan? Is that a little bit different than thinking that God is this genie on the shelf and you rub the thing and you go, okay, Jesus, my first wish is this. Do you know Christians that live their life like that? No, I'm not doubting that they don't love Jesus. I believe they do. But there's a misconception of who the person of Christ and the Holy Spirit is and how that's supposed to affect our lives in our everyday walk. And this is why the world is not sure about Christianity, because they see contradictions in people's walk. And it's hard for them to kind of go like, well, you do this and you do that and you both say you love Jesus and I don't know. This is the very worldly view, and unfortunately the one that I believe has missing key elements in it. Elements that are not only will keep them from the blessing of God, but I believe will keep them from eternity in heaven. God's word is very clear. It does not contain any gray areas. You know what I mean? There are people that search the scripture to find words that approve their behavior rather than reading scripture and taking a behavior and lining it up to God's word. I believe that too many of us desire choices that please ourselves and are not spiritual and justify that God's love and God will understand. It's just they go, you know, this is what I want to do. God bless it. And oh, my bad, God, you understand. That's the way you made me. No, it doesn't work that way. Isn't it funny that when you see somebody sinning, you go, look at the sin in their life. But when it's you, it's like, I just got a little problem. I'm sharing with you what I hear, okay? So let me give you an example of something that happened to me last year. And I think you'll probably understand why this morning I'm hoping to fill in the gap of those little pieces that might be missing to give you more clarity on your spiritual walk. Last year, I went to one of my favorite man stores, Bass Pro. My kids all buy me. Look at them already laughing. There's two places I love to go. One is Bass Pro, and then the other one is Harbor Freight. It's like a candy store for guys. I don't know. I'm not girls. It could be girls. You could be mechanically guy. My daughter's looking at me like, now, don't you? She's never picked up a wrench in her life, but she'll say, don't go. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I went to Bass Pro, and I was considering to buy a certain item that caught my eye. Always wanted to have it. And the item was a little more than I wanted to pay. But I liked it. You know, you walk by the aisle, you look at it, you hold it, then you kind of keep going. And then, you know, eventually you come back to that aisle again and you look at it and you're like, it was just a little bit more than I was willing to pay. However, there was a $15 rebate on that item. And that, to me, was reasonable. I was buying the item. It said that you had to do four things. You had to have a receipt. You had to buy it between a certain date, by a certain date. And you had to purchase a certain name. And you had a certain model that you had to buy. Okay? No big deal. $15 less. Sweet. Okay, you got it. It was a great deal. So I purchased them. I followed all the directions, mailed in the information that was required, and I wait patiently my 4 to 6 weeks for my $15. Only to be rejected because I bought it one day too early. Can I just tell you? It wasn't that I bought it one day too early. It was that I would not have bought it if it was $15 more. And I said, you know, I could go return it and then buy it again, but by that time it was already past the... So it was a small piece of information, not a big deal, right? In fact, I bought it at 9 o'clock at night, which basically means I bought it 3 hours early. But the point that I want to make is, it was a good deal. And because of one little thing, I didn't receive the blessing. Eric Liddell said, obedience to God's will is the secret of spiritual knowledge and insight. It is not willingness to know, but willingness to do, which is obey, God's will that brings certainty. Is that amazing? So many of us want to know. Oh, just tell me, you know, how is this? When's the rapture? Pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. We all want knowledge. But knowledge will not bring us the certainty that we want in life. Because it's only the willingness to do, to obey God's word, that it opens up the door to the certainty of where you will end up for eternity. Agreed? Well, you don't have to agree because it is what it is. If you don't like that, take it up with God. So we're living for heaven here on earth, basically. So now I ask the question. This is how I think. This is how what I drive around and I think about all the time. What does being like the world mean? I bet if I ask every one of you, what does being like the world mean, you would all have different answers. Right? Based on your experiences. So what does being like the world mean? Well, it refers to adopting the values, behaviors, and priorities of a secular society, which are often in opposition to biblical teaching. This concept is frequently addressed in Scripture, where believers are called to live distinctively from the world, reflecting the holiness and the righteousness of God. So that word comes from the Greek word ethnikos. That's the Greek word ethnikos. And that word, its meaning, it means Gentile. Ethnikos, a Gentile or a non-Israelite. It means to live as a non-Israelite. So an example of a Gentile is someone who falls short of being a full member of the Jewish nation because unwilling to live under the ceremonial rules of Judaism. That's what that means. Gentile. Being like the world. It's not understanding or embracing the things of God's way. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to make everybody Jewish or something like that. I'm not. I'm trying to give you a perspective of Old Testament and then to give you a perspective of New Testament and Greek and what it means. So the word Gentile basically means of the world. And it basically means living outside of the standards that God has set up. It's no more than that. Ethnikos. So why is this important precept? Because the Bible's warning against worldliness. The Bible consistently warns against conforming to the world's pattern. Be ye not conformed to the world, right? In Romans 12:2, the Apostle Paul exhorts believers, and he says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. In other words, thinking about it a different way. That by testing, oh man, I don't want the test. I just want the money. That's how you get the testimony. You got to have the test first, right? Okay. So by testing, you may discern what is the will of you. Ooh, see this, can you see how we're starting to get tripped up here? Because a lot of times it's what I want, my will, God bless it. You do that in my life and God, I'll be happy because I know, God, you just care about me being happy. I can't find that one in the scripture, by the way. What is good and acceptable and perfect? Let me read it without all my little interjections there. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For the will of God, who determines what is good, acceptable, and perfect. It doesn't say the will of you to decide what is good, acceptable, and perfect, because we're all flawed. This is a hard word, because it's what God said, not what we said. This verse highlights the importance of mental and spiritual transformation as a means to resist worldly influences. In James 4:4 provides a stark warning about friendship and the world. James 4:4 says this, "You adulterous people." Adulterous, you know what that is? It's like having an affair with something else. You say you're going to be faithful to God, but your life is demonstrating that you love something else more than God, and now you're in conflict. So you think you have to act one way for when you're with certain people, and then you have to act another way with other people, and that can be really crazy in your life. You adulterous people, you do not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I didn't say that. So that means that if you embrace the things of the world as your God, you are an enemy to God. Even if you say with your mouth, oh, I love Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. If the things of the world are the things that you love, you're enmity to God. Here James emphasizes the incorruptible between worldly allegiance and the devotion to God. Believers are called to a life of holiness, distinct from worldly practices. In 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16, Peter writes this, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." Like when you didn't know Jesus. Does that make sense? Like, how many of you know that when we didn't know Jesus, we had a different type of mindset and a different type of behavior? All right, am I the only one being honest? Okay, Donnie too. All right, Tony, I believe Tony. Okay. "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And who dwells in you? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is holy." Now, it doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes in our journey, but there's a difference between making a mistake and choosing something that's not of God. Make sense? Yeah? So this call to holiness underscores the expectation for Christians to reflect God's character in their conduct. Jesus serves as the ultimate example of living in the world without being of the world. In John 17, 14 through 16, Jesus prays for his disciples. Now, this is Jesus praying for his own, his disciples, the ones who are following him. We say that we're following him, right? So we could believe that he's praying this for us as well. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Wow, isn't that awesome? So we could still be an influence. He's not like saying, oh, it's so bad, kids, I'm going to just pull you out. When Jesus comes back, it's not a rescue mission. It's not a rescue mission. It's where the church is rising up. And Jesus' life and teachings provide a model for engaging with the world while maintaining spiritual integrity. We can have spiritual integrity and stand on the Word of God every day of our life. Now, here's where the Holy Spirit plays a crucial role in empowering us as believers to resist worldly influence. This is why I have been teaching over the last several weeks about the Holy Spirit, because I knew the Lord was going to bring me to this. And so this is the application this morning. This is where the rubber meets the road. In Galatians 5, 16 and 17, it instructs this. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Right? Scripture says it all the time. It says, I do what I don't want to do, and the things I know I should do, I don't do. And there's that struggle. But can I tell you, it's minimized when we walk by the Spirit. The indwelling Spirit enables the believer to live according to God's will rather than to succumb to the worldly desires. The worldly desires are always going to be there. Satan's always going to take stuff and dangle it and say, oh, do you want this? He did it right from the beginning in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He said, did God really say? Just wants to put a little doubt in their mind. Oh, I think God's holding out. God's not giving us everything. God's spiritual maturity, and that's where I'm helping to grow you with that. Spiritual maturity isn't measured by how high you jump in praise, but how straight you walk in obedience. Obedience is a choice. It's a choice between our own limited knowledge and power and God's unlimited wisdom and omnipotence. Again, let me remind you that if we want God's blessing, His provision, His protection, His power, and the promises of God in our life, it requires us to do it God's way. It's His blessing. It's His rules. We have to do it God's way. For me, to now teach the full continents of God, I now bring us to a scripture that demands our understanding and application. In other words, our obedience. Read this with me as I present to you. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Next slide. And such were some of you. Ooh, such were, past tense, some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's pretty powerful. You know, have you ever said, I'm on a journey, and the exciting part is, I'm not like what I used to be, but I also know God has even better for me, right? There are so many of us who have made great changes in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. I see it in your lives. I get blessed just seeing you grow spiritually. We are no longer the unrighteous living for ourselves and for our own personal desire. Those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior no longer cling to the identity of the things in the past. For it has been through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have been redeemed. Amen. I want you to remember that. Yes, I know it's true that many of us struggle with addictions and habits in our life. But these are times when we are living in the flesh and not living in the spirit. So I know that this is a hard word, okay? Because there are many of you today that are still struggling between God's way and your way. There have been many here in the congregation who have played house before they got married. Sexually active, not only with just one person, but numerous people. There have been many who have find ourselves worshiping other things than the living God that loves us. There are people here that spend more time on Facebook than in His book. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, foul language, dirty jokes, lying. The list goes on. And we find ourselves caught up in that. But that's not of God. These things are not of the Spirit of God. Oh, they are of a spirit. They are of a spirit. But it's not the Spirit of God. And the concerning part is that we entertain those things. We know that they're not God's will and purpose for our lives, and yet we will indulge in those, and then we come to God when we're broken and we're hurt, and we say, oh, my bad. Forgive me, Lord. I screwed up again. And you know what? He does forgive you. But the problem is, instead of setting your path straight, you go back and do those things again. Having adulterous affairs, looking at pornography, swearing, the things of the world. Those are not of God. That's not living of the Spirit. That's living of the world. And then you wonder why it's such a struggle to come and sit and listen to the Word of God, because those other influences are pulling at your life. Living distinctively from the world involves practical decisions in various aspects of life, including entertainment, relationships, ethical choices. Everything's affected. You know, the world might not see it, but God sees it. And then your heart's broken. And then you're struggling. And this God thing doesn't work. It doesn't work because the sin in your life hasn't been repented for. It's still there. It's still on your slate. We as believers are encouraged to evaluate our actions and attitudes in the light of Scripture, seeking to honor God in all that we do. And I truly believe with all my heart that your decisions to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior has changed the direction of your life and your eternity. I do believe that for every single one of you here, for the people that are watching. I believe that. For with each of you have desired His way in your life. The choices you now make with the guidance of the Holy Spirit in you and through you will now produce blessing in your life when you choose to be obedient to God's ways. You can know God's ways, but if you're not obedient to Him, there's no application in your life. There's no blessing from your life. If you're not doing it God's way, you miss the bus. You see how I came back to that? Isn't that kind of cool? Just, full circle. I don't want you to miss the bus. You could know the bus line. You could know where to go. You could have paid for your ticket. Lord, forgive me for salvation so I may have salvation, right? You can have all of those things, but you can miss it. You weren't there at the right time. Well, that stupid bus driver should have waited for me. You know why I laugh at that? Because that's what I hear in school with the kids. It's never their fault. It's always the teacher's fault. Does that make sense? You should have done that. You should have done this. And I'm thinking, you should have showed up to class. Colossians 3:2 advises us this. It says this. set your minds on the things that are above and not on the things of the earth. Do you know what? My steps are really guided pretty good. I mean, the person you see right now, this is what you get all the time. Those of you who've been out with me, this is who it is. This is who I am. I'll talk about God's word. This is how I live my life. Jeannie, that's how she is even at home. Like, you ask the kids, are your parents like that at home? We are like that at home. Because you know what? We found out the world's way doesn't work and it doesn't produce what we want. So guess what? We'll follow God's way and be obedient. And there's blessing. I also believe that this morning, God wants to give you the opportunity to wipe your slate clean by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, as the Holy Spirit brings to your mind those things of your past that you have not honored God, would you take this time this morning to repent from those choices? Do you know, I wasn't ready to deal with all the things in my life that I did wrong. Oh, no, not you, Pastor. You look so perfect. You didn't know me before Jesus. Where was I going with that? What happens is that in my life, the Holy Spirit just says, it's time that I can bring something to your remembrance. Do you know when you were 14 and you did this and this and this? And I thought to myself, I forgot about that. Honestly, like really just forgot. Like it was just when I was a kid. And the Lord brought it to my attention. And I said, Lord, how that must have grieved your heart. I come before you and I repent of that. I repent of my sins, the ones that I know I did and the ones I did not knowing. I repent from that and I ask for your forgiveness. I do that even today. I did that this week. And what did that do? I looked over at my slate there in the courts of heaven and there was that one little glitch on there. And the blood of Jesus went over and went. And you know what that told me? I'm not missing the bus. My life is going to have blessing because I'm honoring. God's bringing me into remembrance of the things so that I can repent of those things. This morning, would you ask your Heavenly Father for forgiveness of those things of the past that have not honored Him? Past choices, past thoughts, past actions, past speech. I believe that the time is now for us to go back to those places where we as individuals, as couples, as families need to repent and ask for God's forgiveness. I'm going to tell you something. You go back and you look at that and you wipe that clean, you're going to feel like, ooh, 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 ooh. It's like you were grubby and now you took a shower. You feel good. Or you know what? It's like, you know, after one of those nice little rains, you know, now it smells outside. It smells like really good. It smells clean. It's like that. Your heart will be like that. I can see some of you haven't experienced that. Because you know what? When you do, you want that all the time. God's presence, wiping it clean. I believe that it is through our repentance and asking for forgiveness that God will wipe our slate clean and open the door of His blessing, His protection, His provision, His power, His authority, and His purpose in our lives. Amen? Amen. This morning you can have that peace of mind that your sins have been totally forgiven. This morning you can stand holy before a righteous God. While the Bible does not call for complete withdrawal from society, it does demand that our life be set apart, characterized by a commitment to God's truth and a rejection of worldly values. You know, I've preached this a couple other times that if we're silent to the things of the world, then we're in agreement with the things of the world. And if we're in agreement with the things of the world, that's sin. You can't be in agreement with the world and in agreement with God. It doesn't work that way. Well, through the guidance of the Scripture and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we are equipped to navigate the challenges of living in a world that often stands in opposition of our faith. The world is against our faith. You understand that? Why? Because it's the truth. You know, I could go down my hallway of my school and I can say, Buddha, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Mohammed, Mohammed. Nobody says a single thing to me. I say Jesus. Oh, you can't say that here. Why? Because the name of Jesus draws the line in the sand. It's the one that counts, right? It's just the way it is. We must approach the throne of God in repentance. It is the repentance through the blood that brings us to a place of righteousness before God. It's through our obedience that opens the doors of God's blessing in our lives. And blessing brings the favor of God. You want the favor of God? Say, yes, I want the favor of God. Yes, I want the favor of God. Favor is God's presence in your life. Favor opens doors that no man can shut. Favor is what enables us to do things beyond our capacity. God's favor. And finally this. If there's one thing that invites God's favor in your life that is visible publicly, it's your holiness. It's your holiness. One thing that invites God's presence on your life is holiness. We should decide to lay aside every sin to help us run the race and live in holiness. May the Lord help us to act in obedience and live in holiness. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Merciful God, we come before you with a contrite heart, seeking your forgiveness for our sins. We confess our wrongdoings, past, present, and even in the future, and we ask for your cleansing grace. Your word says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. Wash us clean and restore our soul. Grant us strength to turn from sin and walk in your truth. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. This morning, I'd like to end with a declaration. You know, I would encourage you to ponder these words this morning and to apply them. To be honest with yourself and just look back, are there things in my life that I'm just not proud about? Things that I knowingly did that was against God? Or things that I, as I'm realizing it now, didn't honor God? Take the time to just repent. To be broken of heart and just say, Lord, I know now what I didn't know. And I'm willing to make it right. I'm repenting of my foolish choices that I make over and over and over and over again. My addiction to drugs and alcohol, pornography, sleeping around. These don't honor God. Bring those before him. When we finish this morning, if you would like me to pray with you, I will stay up here and I'll pray with you for that cleansing, for that healing. As we end this morning, would you stand with me? And I'd like you to read the declaration of this morning's message. Let us begin. Lord, each day I stray from your perfect will. I repent of my sins and seek your cleansing. The word promises the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Wash away my guilt and renew my spirit. Help me walk in holiness, resisting temptation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to live a life pleasing to you. I surrender all to your grace. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Amen. Peter, would you just pray out the congregation this morning? And if you would like prayer this morning, I invite you to come up. I will pray with you.
Father, we thank you for this word today. May this word penetrate our hearts today. May you, Lord, guide our steps. May we walk in the Spirit with you today and always. May we ponder this information that we've received, Lord God, and may it take root. May it fall on good soil. May it multiply 60, 80, 90, 100, 20 times and more, Lord. Help us to do your will. Renew our minds today, Lord God, so that we may know the perfect will that you have for us. Lord Jesus, you said that all those who are heavy burden and laden with all types of things, to bring it to you, for your yoke is light and your burden is easy. Lord Jesus, through your Holy Spirit, teach us what you mean by that, Lord. Show us to bring all our burdens, all our troubles, all our sins before you that we repent of, Lord. That you would guide our hearts and pour grace upon grace out on us. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you and shalom.